So Acts chapter 3, and we started this journey last week as we saw Peter and John on their way up to the temple to come across a lame guy as they were on their way there at the temple gate. It was called
Beautiful.
Thank you, John. What was the gate called, though? Oh, I'm joking. At the temple gate called Beautiful. And Peter, if you remember, didn't hesitate, and he acted as the Holy Spirit directed him. And the man asked for money, though they were able to bring him complete healing in and through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He received real change, full healing physically, but more importantly, spiritually. And in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 3, we see people immediately react to the situation. And the word tells us that they were amazed. And so you would be. But now Peter really gets into his flow. After being able to be part of this man's healing, he brings about restoration as he shares with him about the Lord Jesus. But now he's going to share too with the whole crowd. And people rush to see what's going off, what's happening. And he seizes the opportunity to deliver the truth. And this is where we'll pick up the account today. So verse 11 through 26, I'll read it for us. It will be up on the screen. If you've got your Bible, you can follow along. I'll read it and then we'll pray. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you." If you remember, that was Barabbas or Barabbas. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name, and by the faith of the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes from God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask this morning that as we've read your word, that you'd just bless it to us. And Father, that you would ready us to receive what you've got to say to us through it. Father, that our ears, our hearts, our minds might be receptive to all that you've got to say. And again, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity where we're able to freely share in your word together. So we ask, Lord, that you would just be with us. Father, that you bless us now as we do just that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So Peter takes this opportunity with both hands. And I do like that about Peter. He doesn't hesitate. I think it's a real good trait for us as Christians that when we see an opportunity to share the gospel by whatever means, that we take it with both hands. That's good for us to do. And not all the time will we get it right. Not all the time will we have the confidence that we feel like we should have had. Not all the time will we feel like we've got the right words in that right moment. But I do think that if we continue in the practice of making sure that we're sharing the gospel at every opportunity, that the Lord will bring about the tools and equipment that we need via the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver what he has got to say in that moment. And Peter does just that, even so soon after all that's happened. And that's probably what catches me out, if you like, when we read this message, read this account, is that Peter hasn't held back. And you've got to remember that the place where he is at and the people that are surrounding him were filled with animosity towards Jesus. That there's no messing about here. They crucified him. And Peter doesn't hold back in what he says. And we must remember the reality of the situation and not just read it as though, well, perhaps it's just a nice thing that happened. No, there's a reality to what's going off here, that Peter indeed would have had to have been extremely brave to have firstly healed the man in the place where he did, at the edge of the temple, just prior to walking through the gate called Beautiful, but also then that Peter is now willing to stand up in front of this crowd of people that only a few weeks ago were shouting, crucify him, to Jesus, and he stands up and he shares the honest gospel truth, and he doesn't hold back. So he addresses this obviously Jewish audience as he's in the temple courts, it's prayer time. And here then, an incredible miracle has just occurred, and the crowd are rightfully intrigued. But Peter asks them something in verse 12, which I guess, again, if you just read over it, you could miss it, but it seems like a strange question. It says, when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Well, hang on, Peter. There's a guy who we know at the gate who has never been able to walk. He gets carried there day after day and he sits there constantly asking us for money. And now all of a sudden he's walking. Of course we're surprised. But Peter is trying to get into the heart of the issue. He says, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Now, I wonder if they thought, the crowd this is, they're the they, if they thought, oh, here we go again, here's another Jesus. You understand? They've just experienced this man Jesus healing people and teaching people and drawing large crowds. And Jesus has just been crucified. There would have been some hearsay that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But remember, the authorities would have been trying to quash that. They don't want people to know or to think that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And Peter steps in and asks this question, why are you surprised? Why is this taking you by surprise? And stare at us as though it's through our own power or godliness. And now Peter is going to make a declaration that you'll see only in chapter 4 that is going to get him in a lot of hot water. Because Jesus has healed and has taught the people in the past, but now, with the apostles set on mission, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, they've received the Holy Spirit. Now Peter is doing what Jesus was doing. Now Peter is sharing the truth, and Peter is able to bring about this healing, not by his own power or godliness, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So mentioning Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not going to be popular. Simply why? Well, because we've just crucified him. Because if you remember, the authorities, the Jewish leaders, the powers that be, wanted Jesus out of the way because he was telling people that this is the way. And they were telling people, no, this is the way. And why did they want them to go their way? Well, because that's how they made their living. Yeah? That's how they made their living. That's how they received their income. That's how they became top of the tree, if you like, as far as relationships go, and how they gained their authority and their power. And Jesus said, that's nonsense. They're not listening. They're not seeing. They're not understanding. And Jesus was unpopular because of that. And now Peter is saying that this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, is the very power that has just healed this man at the temple gate called Beautiful. Peter goes whole hog, if you like, in verse 15 and says, you killed the author of life. How popular is that going to be in that moment? Just think about that for a second. He's in the temple court, full of Israelites, full of devout Jews. These very people who shouted, crucify him and let the murderer free, kill Jesus. These people are now listening to Peter saying, you killed the author of life. And rightly so, you could hear a pin drop. That would have cut to the heart. And I think we glean something out of that, again, for our own walk and our own service with the Lord. As we get to know people and understand, we're able to build relationships so that we can get to the heart of the matter. And we've looked at this in Bible study over the past few months. But here, Peter, he doesn't know these people individually, but Peter, much like Jesus, goes right to the heart of the matter. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't try and fluff them up and make them feel better. He goes right into the heart of the issue. You killed the author of life. But it doesn't stop there, verse 15. You see how it goes on to say, but God raised him from the dead. Now, that might be the very first time that the crowd have heard that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, they might have heard it in whispers. They might have heard it from such and such down the street who says that they've seen one of the disciples who said that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Remember, Jesus didn't appear to everybody. There were a select amount of people that Jesus appeared to. And remember that Peter was the same guy that was willing to say, I do not know Jesus. I don't know where he's from. I've never been there. I've never been with him, because he knew that his life was in danger. Something's changed, hey? Something's changed dramatically, because Peter's now willing to say, not only was I with Jesus, but I saw him preach. I saw him teach. I've experienced him firsthand and my relationship with him. I've received the Holy Spirit. And because of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man is healed. Now, Peter is willing to put his entire life on the block. Something has changed dramatically. And you can only surmise, because these men were willing to die for saying that Jesus has risen, that they have seen the risen Christ. There is an undeniable truth to the way that they behave, from the way that they were before to the way that they are now. Something has shifted. They have seen the risen Jesus. And he says, but God raised him from the dead. And at this point then, the temple leaders would have been like, what is he saying? That is not all right. Because we've been telling them that that's nonsense. We've been telling them that we've ended the way. But the way has only just begun. And they would have been working so hard to quash the rumours. And as we get to chapter 4, God willing, next week, we'll see that that is indeed how they try and react. But now then, real evidence, not because they're just saying that Jesus was raised from the dead, but they are acting in the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in and through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Here is a guy who they would know as a fisherman. They've seen him in and around his boat. They've seen him do fisherman things. They've seen him go home. They've met his wife, maybe. They've seen him in the supermarket. Maybe Asda, possibly Sainsbury's. Could well be Lidl. But they know this man, Peter. And yes, he was with Jesus, but Jesus has gone now. But now, this man, Peter, this ordinary fisherman, he's healing in the name of Jesus. There's a man who was unable to walk, who is now up on his feet, walking and jumping, or walking and leaping, if you've got a King James, praising God. Oh, what a joy. What a difference in the life of Peter. That Jesus, though, in this moment, the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus has affected the cure. It's not Peter or John's power or godliness, as Peter rightly points out, but it is by the name of Jesus that this man is healed. And the shockwaves through the temple would have been huge. I bet the prayer time wasn't like a usual one. You know, I bet it was very different to how it usually is. The crowds would have been like, what is going off here? What is he saying? How is this happening? And Peter explains to the crowd that this healing, this spiritual healing that he's received, yes, a physical healing, but this spiritual healing that this man has received, no longer stuck at the gate, but able to go through the gate. And when he got through the gate, he praised God. And that same spiritual healing is available to them. Verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can see. There is complete healing and restoration for this man. Always, always at the gate, unable to help himself. But the power of the name of Jesus, he has received healing and has walked through the gate. And spiritually, church, in this text, and also here for us this morning, that is exactly what's on offer. Peter is explaining to the crowd, and so to us today, that we can experience this real change. Verse 19, he says, repent then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now that, church, is the gospel message in a nutshell. He shared who Jesus was. He shared who the Lord is. He shared that this is the author of life, that God has raised him from the dead. And he's saying here to these people that your sins can be forgiven. And all you have to do is say sorry. All you have to do is to repent. Repent means to say sorry for your sin, to turn away from your sin. And as we do that, we turn to God through faith and receive salvation. It's a 180 degree flip. We go from heading to a life, a death, if you like, of destruction and sin and corruption, where the world is heading. And Jesus says, what's on offer is a life with me. Life that is truly life, as the word says. That you can say sorry and ask Jesus into your heart and your sins can be forgiven. And we can experience true and real forgiveness and healing and relationship with a loving and living God. Amen? This is what is on offer here to the crowd and what is on offer to us today. The author of life, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, has made a way for us to step from death to life. And you'll recall one of the future, as he becomes a disciple, Nathanael says, has anything good ever come from Nazareth? Has anything good ever? Yes, mate, it has. And his name is Jesus. There is one who is able to turn us from death to life, to turn our lives around completely. And that offer is available for you this morning, to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour. But I guess, as always, church, with a gospel message or a message about turning from death to life, there has to be a point where you have to be ready. Where you have to say, do you know what? Enough is enough. I've sat at the gate long enough, and now is the time. Now is the time to say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I continue on this route. And I've said sorry 1,000 times, but I've never really meant it, because I just keep doing the same things over and over and over again, as though that's all right. But to say sorry, Lord, and come into my heart and change me from the inside out. Lord, that you would turn my life around. I no longer want to be going this direction, Lord, but I am grateful that you have made a way. And that way is through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So do you know what that means? I'll be honest with you this morning. That if there's no other way to get to Jesus, being a good person isn't going to help you. Being at church on a Sunday morning, it isn't going to help you. Giving to charity isn't going to help you. Helping the elderly across the road, that's not going to help you. And these are all great things. But there is only one way. There is only one way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Are you ready this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you once again for your word. And Lord, I just pray that it might affect real change in lives this morning. Father, that people might turn from death to life and realize the opportunity that they've got this morning to turn their life around. That, Father God, that you have made a way through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may you just open up hearts this morning. May your Holy Spirit move. May lives be changed. Father, if there's anybody in this place who doesn't yet know you as their own personal Lord and Saviour, that they won't leave this place this morning without saying, I need to make change. Father, without saying, I want you in my life. So, Father, I ask that you would help any this morning that are stuck at the gate, that today that they might make real change and step from death to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.